All right, we are continuing in our series of the six steps of faith. Tonight we're looking at the second step, and it's entitled How to Make Wise Decisions. And I just, out of curiosity, I just went to the internet and I just asked, putting the question, how many decisions does a person make in a month, in a week, in a day? And I first did it on my phone, and I asked Siri, and I got kind of tickled at her response. She was like, whoa, just a minute. That's what it actually said. Whoa, just a minute. And I thought, man. And y'all take a guess. What do you think statistically they say? How many decisions does a person make in a week's time? Yeah, the best I could get, best anything would say was, well, it's in the thousands. And if you stop and think about it, you know, it's right. You know, when we usually think about a decision, and we're talking about, oh, you know, life or death type decisions. But you make a decision every day. Don't, I mean, every minute almost. You know, are you going to go ahead and get up and go get you something to drink? Are you going to get up and go to the bathroom? Are you going to wait a little while? You know, are you hungry? Are you ready to go get something to eat? Well, I mean, we do it all the time that we don't even think about it. And so obviously we're not talking about necessarily those kind of decisions. We're talking about making wise decisions. We're talking about making more wiser decisions. You know, making the more important ones, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So anyway, so last week we looked at the first phase, and we looked at a dream, and we talked about that God has a dream for every one of our lives. It's not something that He's got hidden. He wants us to discover what that dream is. And we talked about, very basically, I guess, to sum it all up, you know, we need to go to Him and we need to ask Him, say, you know, show me what your dream is, what your dream is for my life. And once we get that dream, then what's the next step? And that's what we're talking about tonight. And really the truth of the matter is a dream is worthless unless we go to this next step. And that is to make a decision. At some point we have to quit dreaming and we have to go to work. We have to put it into action. We have to make a decision about it. Here lately, I've kind of got hooked on documentaries about presidents and the royal family and the royals in London and, I don't know, Air Force One, things like that. I've just kind of got hooked on watching those lately. And it really stood out to me. America really likes, and if you sit back and listen to them, America really elevates people that say, oh, they can make quick decisions. They make, you know, they're very good at making decisions. We like a decisive leader. And I understand there's validity to that. You know, it gets all over me whenever we have somebody who's leading our nation, our state, or whatever, and you can't ever seem to make a decision. Where I'm going with this is, if you study history, I just got through watching a long series on the Roosevelts, and it was on, I don't know, the History Channel, A&E, yeah, you what? Yeah, PBS, thank you. And I watched it, I watched most of the nights that when I was on my trip this week, I just wound up, was at the room, and would put it on and watch it. So I got to watch the whole post series. And it really struck me how everybody was kind of forcing FDR to not make a decision about the war until the Pearl Harbor, and then the decision was made kind of thing. But, you know, we celebrate decisive leaders. But sometimes decisiveness is not necessarily making a wise decision. making a quick decision is not quite so, I don't think, as important as it is making the right decision. And that's what we're talking about. When we're talking about making wise decisions, we're talking about making the right decision about this dream that God gives you, this goal that God gives you. And the Bible really talks a lot about decision making. I just picked one. James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 is what you have at the top of your sheet. And he simply says, a person unable to make up his mind and undecided in all that he does must not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, that's a pretty bold statement, don't y'all think? It's saying that double-mindedness is dangerous. Someone who can't make a decision, who indecisiveness keeps you from God's best. And he says you really don't need to expect from God things if you can't make a decision about it. Now, I want to preface that by saying, I'm not saying that we make the decision. You know, we're going to go through what the steps are, and almost all these steps are going to involve God's leadership. I'm not trying to say that we step out and do it. But I'm just saying, when God gives us a goal and he gives us a dream or a vision about what he wants us to do, at some point we have to accept that that's God's goal and vision for us and step out and do it. Agreed? You got to put it into action for it to ever come about, is what I'm trying to get across. And so that's what we're looking at, how to make the right decisions. Just some examples that we've been using. We've been looking at Moses and Noah and Abraham and different ones like that. And I just put these down. Moses, God gave Moses the dream of leading the children of Israel out of 400 years of slavery. But Moses had to finally make the decision to say, yes, I will go and I'll do that. Noah, God gave Noah the dream of basically saving the world, or how he's going to save the world. Noah had to make the decision, okay, God, I'll build your ark for you. I'll do what you tell me to do. Abraham, God gave him the dream that he was going to be the father of a great nation. He had to make a decision to follow him, to leave his homeland and go to this land that he didn't know anything about. So, you know, we will never face we'll never see God's dream for our lives to come about until we make this next step, and that is to make a decision to go and to do it. So how do we do it? Well, as you can tell on your sheet, there are six steps that we're going to talk about. Each one of these steps, I don't know that there's one that is more important than the other. There's some that we listed first. I think they're all important, but I think we would all agree that probably step one is the beginning place, and that is that we need to pray for guidance. How do you step out and how do you make a wise decision? First of all, we need to pray for guidance. Before we do anything else, we need to get God's perspective on it. We need to make sure, we need to talk to God. God, this dream that I have, I feel like it's from you. Is it? You know, sometimes we get the idea that we have to have all these sophisticated, flowery, proper way of addressing God about things, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just from the country enough. You know, when I want to find out something from God, I just ask him. I don't say, "Oh, thou heavenly Father, which art in heaven." I say, "God, is this what I'm supposed to be doing?" We need to ask for guidance. Proverbs 28:16, a man is foolish to trust himself, but those who use God's wisdom are safe. So my question is, or a question that I have down here, and I want to see a show of hands, but how many of you have made a decision at the time you thought it was a good decision, but later on you realize it was a stupid decision? Yeah, I said don't show hands. Everybody's raising their hands. We've all done it, haven't we? And it's God's perspective, it's God's guidance that we need to get. You know, we all get those impressions. We all get those, that still small voice that whispers to us. And we need to ask God and find out if is that from you. Now there are some other ways that we can verify it. We could dive off in that. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, but I'll just give you, you know, maybe one or two. One of the things is whatever God, whatever that still small voice is, if it's from God, it's not going to be contrary to His word, is it? And so that's one of the ways that we can get that guidance from God. We ask Him, and you say, well, how can you make sure that it's from God and it's not just something you made up, or maybe it's Satan, you know, telling me that? Well, first of all, God will never give us a dream or give us an instruction that is contrary to what His word says. So that's kind of the easiest way to check it, isn't it? I don't necessarily want to go to what his name was, but I remember several years ago, a very prominent preacher stood up in front of everybody, and there'd been highly publicized, him and his wife were having some issues, and she really wasn't wanting to do, I guess, some things that he thought the minister should be doing. And so he just stood up in the pulpit one day and said, well, God has told me I need to divorce her. And when I heard him say it, I thought, really? You know, I wonder, can you give me the chapter and verse for that one? Y'all know what I mean? You know, God is not going to go contrary to His word, is He? And so we need to go back to that. And we've talked about this one before, you know, is it right? Is it true? Is it good? Is it from God's word? There's a whole list of things that I don't really want to go into. But we need to get God's guidance. Colossians 3:15 says, the peace that Christ gives us is to guide us in the decisions that you make. So, what are you supposed to ask? If you notice, every one of these steps have what the step is and then what the question would be. And on this one, it is, what does God want? That's the question that you ask. When you go to God, what is it that you want, God? What do you want me to do? He's not going to hide it from you. God is not into playing hide and go seek, is He? He wants you to come to Him and ask Him, yes. But that's what you just ask Him. What, you know, you just ask the question, what does God want? It's not what do I want. What do I, you know, it's what God, what does God want? Step number two. What's the second thing? The first thing is we get guidance from God. The second step is we get the facts. Get the facts. Again, there is no, I said there was no, God's not going to go contrary to His word. Some may disagree, but I believe there is not a contradiction between faith and fact. Now, I say that again with kind of a caveat over here. It may not be what we can perceive as being realistic, but God is not, God's faith always has a connection to fact. So we need to find out all that we can. Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man acts out of knowledge. Proverbs 18:13, it's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. One of the things that I tell the plumbers all the time when we have a class that we teach, it's called the RMP class. It's a Responsible Master Plumber class. And the state mandates that if a master plumber is going to run his own shop, now he has to have this RMP class. And what the RMP class does is it's a three-day class. The first day and a half of it is going over the laws and the rules that the state has and OSHA and some things like that. The other day and a half is strictly business. It's a business course. And one of the things that we tell them, the reason why I think the state started doing it is because they finally realized what statistics said, and it's staggering. The statistics say 90% of all new businesses that start within the first year, they will fail. 90% of all new businesses fail within the first year. And then it goes on to say 90% of the ones that don't fail the first year, they will fail within 5 years. And you know why? Some people would say, well, it's because they didn't have enough money, they didn't have this. It says because they built their business on uneducated enthusiasm. And what that means is they said, oh, I want to do this, but they never looked to see if it was a reasonable thought that you're going to have enough customers in your area, or you're going to be able to reach those customers. Are you going to have enough money to get the thing going? I just thought that was very strange to find that in our material, an uneducated enthusiasm. I thought, man, that goes with the sermons, doesn't it? And it's a fact. So you need to get all the information. So what do you ask in this step? You get all the facts. What do you need to ask? Is what do I need to know to make this decision? What do I need to know to make this decision? That's what you're going to ask God. God, what do I need to know to make this decision? It's not questioning. It's not having faith. It's being prudent. It's not making an uneducated or doing something out of uneducated enthusiasm. We've all done that, haven't we? We've all thought about doing something or started trying to do something and didn't get all the facts about it. And about the time you get away from the starting line, you run into those things that you didn't think about. And so we need to pray for guidance, and we need to get the facts. Number three, and this is the one that a lot of people, I think, when it comes to business, they don't do it. But I think when it comes to things about what God wants them to do, they fail this one. The third step is ask for advice. Ask for advice. Talk to someone who's made the similar kind of decision. Talk to someone who is doing the same thing that you're doing. Or, that at least you perceive, hey, they did that. They stepped out. What did you do? What did you face? What was the preparation for it? Another idea about this asking for advice is talk to some people who know and who will be honest with you about your gifts and your talents. Again, you can tell I'm inundated with this, with these documentaries. The last one I was watching was one on Nixon. And it's kind of a little different because it's taken from all of their haldermen and all those guys. It was taken from their videos. But you know what just stands out to me is that those guys never told Nixon the truth. And by that I mean they always told him what he wanted to hear. There was a big conversation about his installing that video, that audio system that recorded everything that was going on in his office. And I was amazed at what they said. He came up with the idea, and every one of those guys, and of course, most of them were younger. I don't know if you realize that or not, but most of his administration, of Nixon's administration, they were 30s and down. There was not very many older guys in there giving him advice. He was surrounded by a bunch of younger guys. But every one of them said, oh yeah, it'll be great, Mr. President. It'll be great. It'll be great. It'll come in it'll be an important thing at some time. Of course, we already know the history. I thought, yeah. It played an important part, all right, didn't it? Those audio recordings played a somewhat important part in his presidency. But it just stood out to me. He didn't have people around him that would be honest with him, that would tell him the truth. They were just saying yes all the time. You really want to know if the dream is right and if you're really trying to make the decision to go for that dream or not? Talk to people who will be honest with you. You know, and say, you know what, it's not a bad idea, but I don't know if that matches. You know, and obviously if it's from God, and you don't, I'm not saying you just driving along the road and there's some guy selling a newspaper on the side of the road and you roll down your window and say, what do you think? You think I ought to do what God tells? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about within your church family, huh? I'm talking about your family, your church family, people who are also seeking to do what God wants them to do. But you need to ask and seek advice. Another documentary that I was watching was on Henry Ford. Henry Ford is always interest me anyhow. But I love what was said, that someone asked him, what is the secret to success? Anybody ever heard this one before? They asked him, so what's the secret to success? And he got a smile on his face. He said, well, the secret to success is learning to make wise decisions. And they said, okay, how do you make wise decisions? He said, well, that's easy. Wise decisions you get through experience. Said, okay, how do you get experience? He goes, by making stupid decisions. That's what he said. He said, you get wise decisions, you do it by learning to make wise decisions, or the secret to success is you learn to make wise decisions. And they said, well, what's it's experience? How do you get experience? From making dumb decisions. Again, if you study the life of Henry Ford, you will find out at times he made very wise decisions. At other times, he didn't make such wise decisions, did he? He stuck with the Model T longer than what he should have. So we've got to ask for advice. I love what Rick Warren says. He says, you know, I don't have time to experience, I don't have time to learn everything from personal experience. I don't have time to make all the mistakes in life. I can learn from other people's mistakes. I don't have to look a certain sin. I don't have to look at a certain sin to figure out that it might not be good for me because I can look at what it's done for other people's lives. And as he, I just was reading those and I thought, We need to ask for advice. Sometimes we don't have to ask for it, do we? Sometimes we can just observe it. But that's what we need to do when we're talking about this decision. We need to pray for guidance. We need to get the facts. And we need to ask for some advice. We need to ask some questions. Our lives are too short to make all the mistakes that we need to make to be successful. We can learn those from other people. Since I'm doing all these little quotes, I'll give you a Curtis Wynn quote. My dad, he very eagerly will give you his opinion anytime you ask it. And plumbers, when he's talking with them, they'll get talking and they'll ask him about something. And he'll say, well, I'm an expert on that. And of course, they'll kind of chuckle and he goes, no, I really am. He goes, now, do you know what an expert is? And they're like, no. So an expert is someone who's made all the mistakes you can make. Our lives are too short to make all the mistakes that we can make, aren't they? So we need to ask for advice. On this one is easy. What do you ask? What's the question you ask? You ask for advice. That's what you do in that one. You ask for advice. Number four. If we want to make wise decisions, we need to calculate the cost. There is a price tag on everything that we do. Anything of any significance, there's a price tag on it. Even when you choose, even insignificant things, if you choose to give 5 minutes to something. The cost of that was 5 minutes of your life, wasn't it? And that's something you can't ever get back. Sometimes we forget about the time that it takes us. That's one of the most valuable things. If you get listening to any of the top CEOs, CFOs, COOs of some of the major companies, their biggest focus is on time management, isn't it? Or how do you leverage your time? How do you make the most of your time? Because that's the one thing that you can't get back. You can't buy that back. Once it's gone, it's gone. So every decision has a price tag. It's going to cost something. Time, money, energy, resources, reputations. It's going to cost something. Proverbs 20:25 says it's a trap for a man to dedicate something to dedicate something rashly and only later consider the vows. We talked a little bit about this morning, about the talents, didn't we? You need to deliberate. You need to look at it. Jesus said everyone should count the cost. You should know. A king should know what it's going to cost to go to war. A builder should know what it's going to cost to build a building. And so, you know, you need to count the cost. I don't remember where I found this at. Probably from Rick Warren, but I honestly don't remember. It says, one of the rules of life, it's always easier to get in something than to get out of it. Is that not a true statement? We can get, it's a lot easier to get in than it is to get out of something. And I don't care if it's talking about a relationship, if it's talking about getting in debt, if it's talking about getting your schedule so full, you don't have time for anything. It's always easier to get in something than it is to get out. So we ought to count the cost. So what question do we need to ask? Well, we need to ask the question of, is it worth it? When we're talking about counting the cost, the question that we ask is it worth it? Is it worth what it's going to cost me? While you're writing that down, H.L. Hunt once said, so there's two basic keys to the success of life. One is decide what you really want, and two, decide if you're willing to pay for it, or if you're willing to pay it, is what he said. So those are the two major keys to success in life. There's a price tag with everything, and so we ought to ask, what is it worth it? All right? Everybody all right with all those? Number five, the fifth step. It kind of leads us into this other steps of faith, but we included it here, and that is step five, we need to prepare for problems. You need to prepare for problems. Just like counting the cost, you need to also prepare that there's going to be some difficulties. I got tickled at how much publicity Donald Trump got whenever he gave this quote. Everybody just thought he was the wisest man around when he gave this. He said, I expect the best, but I prepare for the worst. When they were talking about his secret of success. And I can't tell you how many people I heard commentary, everybody else like, oh man, that's why he's so successful. And all the time he was saying, and I thought, he didn't come up with that. He wasn't the first one to come up and say that. Proverbs 22:3, a guy that I think is a lot more wiser than Donald Trump, said it this way. A sensible man watches for the problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. What was Solomon saying? You expect the best, prepare for the worst, isn't it? That's exactly what he was saying. A wise person recognizes there's going to be problems, and you prepare for them. Even the Bible knows about Murphy's Law. Y'all know Murphy's Law, don't you? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. I was reading somewhere and read about a bumper sticker that had that. It said Murphy's Law. You know, if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And underneath it, in real big, it said, "Aren't you glad Murphy was an optimist?" I like that. Yeah, he was an optimist, wasn't he? You can't ignore the problems. They're going to be there. As well as counting those costs, you need to prepare for those problems. So, what question do you ask? Well, it's a pretty simple one. When you're looking at this and you're trying to make a decision, you say, what could go wrong? What will happen if it does go wrong? But, you know, what can go wrong with this? Now, I will tell you, while you're writing that down, you don't have to eliminate all of your doubts before you proceed. That's not my point. We have some examples in God's Word where people had some doubts. You think Moses had some doubts? Well, who am I going to say when I go and talk to him? Who am I supposed to tell him has sent me? He said, well, tell him the great I am sent you. Okay. Well, you know, I'm really not that good at speaking. Okay, well, I'm going to send Aaron with you. And then he finally got down to the issue, didn't he? He finally said, Lord, send somebody else. I really don't want to go do this. He had his doubts. You think Noah had his doubts? I know I told you all this before. It just blew my mind. I never thought about how long it took him to build that boat. You know, I figured, I didn't think he built it in a week. 120 years. Do you think he had any doubts in that 120 years? Lord, did I really get this dream right? Was this a wise decision? You know he was being criticized by the people around him. And again, I've said this before. You know his kids were coming to him, Dad, you're embarrassing us now. You know, you get that boat out of the front yard. You're embarrassing us. I dare say his wife might have mentioned it to him once or twice, that building the boat wasn't the best thing in the world. I'm not saying that that you stop everything when you have some doubts. I always think about there was a man that came to Jesus, and he said, Rabbi, my child is sick. I need for you to heal my child. And Jesus asked him a very interesting question. Y'all know the story? He didn't say, well, you know, have you been good? Have you been attending Sabbath? He didn't ask him any of that stuff, did he? What did he ask him? Anybody remember? He said, do you believe? And boy, he raised his hand and he said, I'm 100% believing, aren't I? No, that's not what he said. He said, Lord, I have some faith, but I have a lot of doubts too. And help me with my doubts. And basically, Jesus looked at him and he said, that's good enough. I'll help you with your doubts. You go back home, your child is healed. Jesus wasn't even where the child was at. What that tells me is that, yes, we need to do all these steps. We need to prepare for problems and count the cost and all those things. But what we don't have to do is get every single answer. We don't have to have everything lined up in our Franklin and our day planner to where we know exactly what's going to happen. God doesn't work that way. He will take care of what's tomorrow. Now, I don't know, I wasn't here, but I know, Brian, did you talk about that like you said you were going to Wednesday night about the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Prayer? I said Lord's Supper, I meant Lord's Prayer. You know, when Brian and I met, he was talking about that he was going to bring that out. Isn't it interesting? We are to pray for our daily bread. Not weekly, not monthly. Why? Because it's all right to have some doubts. We don't have to have them all cleared out of the way. God's going to give us the directions for today. And we have to trust Him for tomorrow. But that still doesn't mean that we don't prepare for problems, we don't count the cost, and all those other things. So, the last one, the sixth step. And this one is at the end, simply because it just makes it good, I guess, to put it at the end to tie it all together. It probably ought to come under number two. We ought to ask guidance from God. We ought to ask God about it, you know, get guidance from God. And then we put this one at the end, and it should have been second probably, and that is we need to face our fears. We need to face our fears. Because I think that is one of the biggest reasons why we don't ever experience God's dream for our lives is because we have fears. Fear is at the root of all of our indecision. We're afraid we're going to make a mistake. We're afraid we're going to fail. We're afraid we're going to embarrass ourselves. We're afraid that people are going to laugh at us. We're afraid that people are going to reject what we're doing and why we're doing it and question our motives and question all these things about us. Fear always keeps us from making decisions. So we really and truly ought to probably put that one at number two, but I wanted it at the end to kind of sum everything up. We don't like to admit it, but we all come up with excuses. Again, we've been talking about Moses. Moses had several of them. You know, I can't talk. Who am I to go? Gideon, we talked about Gideon before. He had his excuses. He said, God, I'm too young to do this. I'm too young to lead this army. I don't have enough men. I mean, there's all these things. Abraham, his was just the opposite. Lord, I'm too old for this. And we come up with similar ones. We come up with decisions, or excuses, excuse me, for not recognizing, not making those decisions. Don't have the money, the time, the experience, the education, the contact, the resources. You know, I would do it if I wasn't this age, or if I wasn't married, if I didn't have a family. I would do it if I was married, if I had a family. I mean, we come up with all, and all that really is fear. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want to be laughed at. We don't want to be made fun of. And we sure don't want to fail. And we need to face those fears. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Some. That's what Romans 8:31 says. You see, the antidote to fear is faith. And that's what Romans 8 tells us, that we need to have that faith. If God is for us, who can be against us? The problem is a lot of times we're trying to get a perfect situation. That's what Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Have you all discovered if you are waiting for the time to be right, the right time never comes around? We need to step out. We need to get over our fears. We need to face our fears and conquer those fears. And the antidote to that is putting a trust and a faith in God. If He's given us a dream, He's going to give us the ability to see that dream through. When we know it's God's will, we know God's given it to us, it's time to make a decision, and we move against our fears. That's what Moses did at the Red Sea. And what did God do? He parted the Red Sea. That's what the children of Israel did, and that's what Moses did for the children of Israel, and God provided the manna for them. When we do that, when we make those decisions, when we if we have to go through all six of those steps. But when we go through those steps and we make those decisions and we say, God, I'm going with you, that's when we start seeing miracles happen. It's when we start seeing miracles in our lives, and we see miracles happen in our churches, and we see miracles happen in our communities. It's when we say, God, this is your dream for me, this is your goal for me, or for us, or whatever pronoun you want to use there. And we make that decision and we step out. That's when God does it. Have you all noticed? And I'm closing with this. Have you noticed God never performs a miracle until we just make the decision that we're going to do what he wants us to, tells us to do? I know in my life, I've never sat back. I said, well, you know, I'll tell you what, God, I think this might be what you want, but show me a miracle and that'll, I never found them that way. The miracles always happen. Those great things always happen when we step out in faith, don't they? When we step out and we say, okay, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I mean, when working on this, I kept finding myself in Moses' head standing in front of the Red Sea. Just think about it. If he had not had the faith to raise the staff, we know God had the power to part the Red Sea, but he didn't part the Red Sea until Moses made the decision to trust God, did he? And the same thing is in your life and my life. We're not going to see those Red Seas part until we say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. So my question just is, you know, what decision do you need to make? I started off by asking, how many decisions do you make in a week's time or a day's time or whatever? The really important question is what decision do we need to make? What do you need to make? What one of those six steps do you need to take and do I need to take so that we can see God bring about that dream that he has for your life, for my life, for our lives? May have to go back and visit some of those more than once, huh? It's not the only first time in my life I've ever had to go back and I guess more than once in my life I've had to say, okay, Lord, I'm relying on, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And then I wake up and realize, whoops, I've got off on the side of the track waiting for God, and God's waiting on me. God wants us. He has a dream for us. When he gives us that dream, the next step is for us to make a decision about it. Amen.